This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Cut my life into pieces.
What?
This is my last resort. Suffocation. What? No breathing.
Welcome.
So hardcore.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. I can't even take ourselves seriously. Nando wanted this song so bad.
No, I didn't want this.
Joy and I were like, no, Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
Mando's like, we have to have it.
But it's my jam.
I know.
That's what he said.
I wanted to pick Legal Tender by the Handsome Furs.
Right.
Which was the opening song from the episode.
That's what the ladies call you with your new beard.
Yes.
The Handsome
They
Furs.
Call me Legal Tender.
No.
Yes, totally. Legal Tenders.
Well, welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. We're here again. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined as always by the lovely Julie Carely.
Hello, Braz. Hi, everybody.
I'm also joined
Nando.
By the well-groomed, lovely, beard-manicured Nando Velasquez.
Someone manicured. I did get a comment on YouTube that I had the homeless look going on. So, yeah.
They called you homeless.
I do have a home.
You don't look homeless today.
I look a little more legit. Really?
For those of you watching on YouTube, you look less homeless
you
than
look
you
look dashing.
I appreciate that.
Missing is, and Marissa Serafini's here too.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Marissa. Missing is, obviously, it's Joe Sanfilippo, who oddly enough called me yesterday from San Francisco. He's hanging out with Larry Ellison up there.
That's what you do. Doing
One World or Open World, where the big Oracle convention is. But it's his anecdote. I got to share this to you because it's so Joe Sanfilippo. His anecdote was like, yeah, so I'm up here and someone goes, do you watch our show, The Blacklist? I'm like, yeah, I do a podcast for that show right now. I got to call Braz. So thanks, Joe.
This is the year of Flippo.
I do a podcast for that show today.
Today.
Wait a minute, I'm in San Francisco. So anyway, but he's working. So
if he's that present, you really trust his predictions. That's all I'm
saying. I don't know. Yeah.
The year of Flippo. Okay, buddy.
We'll see about that.
Well, have fun with Larry Ellison up there. We're here.
If that's really who he's with.
Yes.
He might not even know for real.
Who knows?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that might just be a story.
So into the episode. In episode number 2, the Monarch Douglas Bank.
Number 112.
Mm-hmm. Where the players dwell. That's a song. Never mind. So
maybe you should have picked that song to open.
112, anyone? All right. So Monarch Douglas Bank. When I first saw this, I thought this was a person. Now, you know, the first thing was Lord Baltimore. Then we had the Monarch Douglas Bank. I'm like, what is the royalty? But it's actually a thing.
I like it.
I always knew it was a thing. I was just surprised it was on the list. It didn't make as much sense as everything else has been a person.
Well, you would think the formula, you know, would be the list. The formula, which is the woman, the formula, Miss Kaja, how do you pronounce your name?
Kaja
Tomsack.
Tomsack.
Yes, two against one.
Okay.
Tomsack.
It's true.
Let's go with it.
Kaja Tomsack.
All right. We might be missing a little inflection.
We agree.
My Polish is rusty.
We might be missing a little inflection, but that's basically it.
But I thought you thought it would be called the formula, but it's called Monarch Douglas Bank. Let's start with some quick impressions. Give me 30 seconds on this episode. What do you think of this episode, Nando?
I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, we most of the season one has been in New York, Washington, D.C. It's been all local. So even though I'm sure they just shot most of this maybe in sound stages.
What, you think they flew to Poland to shoot this?
I don't know if they did. The exteriors were from Poland. Yeah, those nice little shots. So stock footage. But it's nice to see them go. You know, I think I talked about it last week when we started seeing the Mossad agent, which we see a lot more of this episode. So we start getting some answers, at least with her.
We'll talk about her later.
Yeah, we'll talk about her later. It's nice seeing this whole thing, like they're in a different country, and Ressler and Keane are pretty much working with everybody against them at some point. So it was really nice and dramatic, nice little European type of thriller,
sure,
type of scenes there, yeah, trying to get away.
I love that they opened it up international. We saw last week when they were in Africa, and this week they're in Poland.
Usually we see Red doing something like international while they're doing stuff in the States, but now at least we get to see the team international.
Absolutely.
Which I like.
Thank God.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Has that check because he is everywhere all at once.
Yeah. It's hard to be an international.
He's rolling everywhere.
Criminal mastermind thing.
Perhaps.
What did you think?
I like this episode. Last season, my favorite episodes were the episodes where the blacklister of the week and our stock characters, all their stories intertwined. And I think this was a perfect example of that.
Right.
Everyone's sort of involved, so it doesn't feel as choppy to me. It's like, oh, this is happening over with Lizzie, but this is happening with the blacklister. I like that synchronicity there. I also enjoyed being able to get a little bit deeper into Red's past.
Sure.
So I'm really excited to see where that's going to go. I do want to say how right I was about the pill popping being a thing, Nando.
I couldn't wait to tell Nando about those pills.
Oh, man. All throughout my nose, there are times like, pills!
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 More pills, Nando.
Pills. I should have taken a tally.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Wrestler gives... gives her pills from his private stash.
Oh, yes, his private stash. Make sure Lizzie's not working.
Yeah, he's like, these will make you feel better. I'm like, Nando, gotcha.
Oh, Nando.
Okay.
All right.
I'm allowed to say something different than you guys. I don't have to be in agreement.
That's true.
No, you don't. I just love it when you're wrong.
So the pills, are definitely a thing.
It's the year flip out.
I loved it too. I love how we're off to a really good start with this season because they're really doing a thing, and John, Bokenkamp, thank you, talked about this in an interview pre-season, sort of saying how they're going to really have your standard blacklister of the week like they've been doing, but really, really tease out some plot, serialized plot elements along the way, which is kind of what they did in season one. But this is off to like a really dense start. And between episodes one and two, there's a lot of dense plot packed in there. It's like a weird thing where they give you all of these almost mysteries at the beginning of these two episodes, and you get a sense that we're going to unravel them as the season goes on. Because, I mean, we've got, you know, who's the common enemy between Red and Berlin? What's the deal with Red's wife? Like, what's the deal with our girl, this Mossad agent, bumping around? What's going on with a wrestler he's got some demons and all this other stuff? Like, all these things are going to, like, you know, where's Tom Keene? Is he going to be back? We all know he is, but I mean, when is Tom Keene going to come back?
Fingers crossed.
He's coming.
Well, we didn't see any hooded figures in this episode.
No, but he's going to
his fancy glasses.
So, but it's cool that they just keep piling the stuff on. And in addition to the stuff that wasn't solved from last season, you know, the family stuff and the scar and the burns and the remember Red's back's all burnt from the fire.
Oh, I remember that.
So just stuff.
Never hear the end of that.
Yeah. So
still not convinced, but yes. I'll never hear the end of that.
Sure. So we'll see. We'll see how this thing. But I like that they're giving us a lot, and they're still giving us the cool blacklister of the week. I did like that the blacklister was an inanimate object, was a bank, was a thing.
Yeah.
Although everyone in that thing was dirty as F, including Agent Serlano. What's his name? Agent Solano.
Solano, I think.
Yeah. Who was he dirty? I mean, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but was he technically dirty? Because he was like on the.
He was, no, I don't think he was, it seemed like he was dirty, but at the end the reveal was he was protecting the Bureau.
Yes. Because
the Bureau also had money in there and they funded operations including the blacklist operation.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
So he's protecting him. And then this is why he pulled the gun on Lizzie, like, I can't let you
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Which is weird because the very people that are paying her salary, it sounds like, tell her that.
She would have been taking her to the same place. Yeah. She would have been taking her to the FBI just in the States.
I guess they just wanted to keep it as private as possible. They were afraid that she was going to reveal that. You know, it's like one of those top secret operations that even other parts of the government probably don't even know that they're handling it this way.
Well, let's unpack this episode a little bit. Let's get into the actual blacklister, the plot here. So we it opens. Well, first of all, we do open with Red, with this very cool scene of seeing like a bloody faced Red. Calling Mr. Kaplan to clean up some mess.
A.K.A. Mm-hmm. Kate, we learned
we get a Kate, yeah, we get Kate, like, you know, don't tell me how to do my job, Kate.
Well, Kate was from season one, too. She was the cleaner. Yeah,
she's a cleaner.
Well,
yeah.
But she was never, he only called her Mr. Kaplan. So today, when things got really, really tough, he called her Kate.
Yes. But I'm confused why he called her Mr. Kaplan.
Because that's her.
That's her name.
That's her name. That's her criminal name.
Season one?
Oh, her criminal name is Mr. Kaplan. Okay, I'm trying to remember. The Mr. threw me off.
Well, that was the whole
joke.
Bit.
Okay, that's all.
I know it was a joke, but last season, last season, Mr. Kaplan, Nanda watches, right?
I watch the show.
Okay, so last season,
I can't remember everything.
We thought that was a really cool thing. Yes. That Mr. Kaplan was a woman.
Got it.
Not only a woman, like a little frail old woman.
A little frail old. His cleaner was not some big burly super spy. It was a little old woman who was obviously a super spy.
I'm speaking for the cleaner. People who didn't watch season one and probably just wondering why he's calling a woman Mr.
Well, I think it's just a cool character look thing there. She's Mr. Kaplan. But we know she's Kate.
She's Kate.
Kate Kaplan.
Mr. Kate Kaplan.
That's right.
There it is.
No relation to Gabe Kaplan.
I know it was just one. No.
Old reference for an old guy.
Welcome back.
And I'm lost.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. I like that. I actually have to say that it was kind of one of my favorite scenes. It was so short. It was so quick, but it showed a relationship between the two of them that transcends just employer-employee, that she has the ability and she's allowed to talk to him like that.
Yeah.
And he snaps back, but then he apologizes to her, which is kind of not a Red-ish thing to do. So I like that.
I love that for all the reasons you said, but it's because in that one scene you get all the things you love about about Red. You know, sometimes you get the cool, you know, kind of, you know, smirky, in control Red. Every now and then you get the super badass, like, assassin Red. Mm-hmm. This time you get a little bit of both. And this is an out of control emotional Red. We're very used to seeing Red in complete control, you know, steps ahead of everyone. And this is like his wife's out there. He's got a finger. He's pissed. He's killing them. He's killing MFs left and right, you know? So, and he's like, you know, this got messy again, you know, and he's, as he said, and Mr. Kaplan warned him. She's like, you know, you kind of need to slow down.
Well, I think there's definitely a history between the two of them, and seeing her again, seeing Mr. Kaplan again, I'm sure we'll probably get to see some more of her and maybe learn a little bit more, but she seems like someone who's fiercely loyal. Red.
Yeah.
Because she's able to save the day and come clean up his messes in the past. And she seems to have enough input on him to know when he's acting off.
Yeah.
When he's off.
Well, once he got the call about the Monroe Douglas Bank, he sort of had to calm down and realize. This is also cool about that scene. Like, he clearly had gone out. We don't see what happened. Blood on his face. Demi's stomping around. There's three dead bodies. He's calling Mr. Kaplan. He's barking at her to just do her job. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what I'm doing. He gets the call. He realizes that, his words is, he's far out on the edge of the limb, on the end of the limb. So he's calmed down. And then you think, oh, Red's back. He's calmed down. And then he turns around and just shoots that guy in the back of the head. Yeah. So it's like, whoa, Red's not effing around. Like, he's on some scorched earth shit. He's definitely like, I will find Berlin at all costs. So that was very cool, and that was a very cool opening, I thought, as well.
Loved it.
And in continuation of that, the other cool part of that, which is sort of intercut with this, the bank robbery. Yeah, it was intercut at the top.
Yes, it was intercut. It was mixed back and forth.
That was a great, well-directed, well-everything, because, you know, I love seeing a good heist pulled off, and then they were professionals, 6 minutes, the whole thing, cover their checks with the weird chemical, whatever that was, they poured on the ground.
They had those, like, biohazard-looking suits or whatever it was. Yeah.
And then that whole reveal that they weren't in there to rob anything or hit that bank. They were there to steal the formula. They kidnapped that one person, which was very cool. Mm. And then the other twist, we find out later that they stole the formula, but the formula is not a thing, but a person.
Mm-hmm.
So we do in fact have the blacklister not being a person, but a thing. And then the thing inside the thing
the thing inside the thing,
but a person,
which is a thing, but not a thing.
Huh? Not a person, but a thing, but a thing inside the thing.
It's a person.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
There we go.
That's what I meant.
I have no idea what you said.
I think I got it, shockingly.
That was cool. What did you think of the heist? The kidnapping?
Oh, I mean the heist.
The bank robbery turn.
No, I thought it was a really, really awesome. It was really curious to see why they were all dressed up, but it was obvious to hide the identity of the next, you know, the person they were kidnapping.
Right.
But it was also, the twist was, it was planned. She wanted out. So they were actually, she...
Another twist. Yeah, they were saving her.
It was planned. They were saving her.
Yeah.
That was the plan. So the one thing that I'm confused about this whole thing is when Red got the call from Warbaluski, he sounded very concerned as if something was stolen that belonged to him. It wasn't just the formula and the fact that the formula had all of Berlin's assets, you know, memorized. It was that it was something that could hurt Red as well, and we never really went back to that.
Yeah, I think that we're sort of think that there's a possibility that all these, you know, criminal and underworld types have money in the Monarch Douglas Bank. So it's not unrealistic to think that Red may have some assets in there as well. So,
but he even said, as far as he was concerned, everything was stolen. Like nothing, the bank reported nothing, but as far as he's concerned, everything.
So that's him knowing the formula was kidnapped.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Like Red.
I might agree with you though, actually, that the stakes might be a little bit higher for him for whatever is in that bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever the formula may have.
I don't think we're going to find out. I don't know if that was a dangling plot thread or what, or just to keep us off the track, maybe a red herring, but I felt like for some reason the stakes seemed high because it seemed like it was, at first we thought that perhaps Berlin was behind the bank robbery,
yeah,
I'm
so
sure.
That's what it felt like.
So it actually felt like they were on the offensive again, another offensive front toward Red, trying to get more information out of him, because they were going into safe deposit boxes. They made it sound like there was something in that bank that was going to hurt Red, and it ended up being the opposite. It was to hurt Berlin that he wanted. So that's what I was
confused
about.
He saw an opportunity to get to Berlin.
Yeah.
So we find this out through our boy, our man, Aram.
Aram.
Good old Aram, who notices
that.
He's
getting a little quippier every episode.
Yeah, they're expanding his role.
People love him.
He's the best.
He's
somebody
great.
On YouTube
he's
thought we were dissing him last week. I'm like, no, we love Aram.
I dissed him because I mispronounced his name, but I mispronounced everything.
Yeah, you mispronounced everything.
Nando.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Jay.
Nando.
Nando.
No, but I, you know.
Jalea.
I'm sorry. Jalea and Nando. I call him Aram. For some reason, because I read it, but of course it's Aram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, he's fantastic.
Oh, he's my favorite one on the task force.
He definitely noticed that, you know, five people went in, six people went out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Look at her eyes.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
It's a kidnapping.
I love towards the end, just a little throwaway line when Cooper comes in. We've lost control. What isn't broken here? The coffee machine.
Hurrah! Hurrah with the zinger. Oh, zing! Every time.
It's getting more comfortable there at the task force.
Yes.
Welcome back, Cooper. Zing! I'm Rob.
He's going to turn to the coffee machine.
Yeah,
making copies. Look at Cooper.
Aram watch.
Cooper making.
We gotta count the Aram zingers.
Yeah.
He's got some good lines. So we find that out. So then this is the part where it gets a little weird. Like, so they send Wrestler and Keen to Poland, to Warsaw, to check this thing out.
On Red's suggestion.
On Red's suggestion. But they go there, but they have no jurisdiction, so they have no weapons.
Yeah.
And there's that whole
thing. They can't make an arrest.
They can't make an arrest, but they're there with our guy.
And that's, if anything, that's just to make you realize that they're completely on their own when stuff goes down, when ish hits the fan later on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So they get there, they check out the crime scene, they get Red on the horn. Red will be there in 3 hours, he's on the jet. They find the Red,
We also, before they leave though, we also find out that the Mossad agent is following them.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's key, and that carries through this entire
episode. I don't want to mispronounce her name.
Hold on.
Samar
Navabi. Got it.
Samar Navabi. Samir or
Samar? Samar.
Samar
Navabi.
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 No, I
wrote it off the,
Somebody's names are rough, man.
Well, I have it as Navardi.
That's Navardi. What I have, Navardi.
I thought I wrote it off the subtitles when I was looking on it.
Subtitles are always right, son.
Oh, no, Hulu. I do have Navabi.
Navabi?
Navabi.
Two against one.
Okay.
Oh, God.
You know, I have Navabi, too, actually.
Really
oh, yeah, right, you do. Sure.
I swear, I have Navabi, and then I have Navardi, like, later. So I read it somewhere.
Navabi.
Navabi.
With a B.
With a B.
That's what I said.
And three against one.
Navabi.
Yes, sure.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway. Samar, not Samir.
If Filippo was here, he'd agree with you.
Samar Navabi.
So, Samar Navabi. So,
there it is.
Yeah, we talked about her. We, you know, Filippo and I talked about, and I think we all did, talked about her last week, and she's cool, and we'll see if we see her, and we see her, and she's back, and she's a friggin' badass.
She's gonna be a major presence
yeah.
in this.
So we see her following them, and then we get the whole cool red substance on the seat. Yes. Is it a chemical?
Well,
is what is it? Is it something that they use?
Flammable? So just by knowing it's flammable, he figured out that it's actually like jam. It's jam from a donut, from a Polish donut.
I'm also fascinated how Lizzie sees this red substance. She can't tell what it is. Let me call Red Hill now.
Yeah. And guess what? Red knew.
Of course he did.
He's like, is it red? Is it flammable? Poof. He's like, Apollonia's donuts.
Jelly donuts.
Like,
oh my God.
The best jelly donuts this side of Warsaw. Like, huh? But it was cool.
Interesting.
Those things it does look good.
It did look good.
It did look good.
I mean, anything that you could set a match to.
It did look good. I don't know if there's any Polish places here in LA, but I want to try one of those things out.
There's a couple.
There's a couple I'm going to try.
There's one in Santa Monica called Warsawa, which is like Warsaw.
Will you bring us jelly donuts next week, please?
There's one in New York that I definitely love, but I don't think I've had that before.
We digress as usual.
So, yes, of course.
So Red lands, he goes to visit Apollonia, the sweet
donuts.
Old little Apollonia.
Who loves her some dembe.
Oh, my sweet gentle boy.
Loves her some dembe. Can you blame her?
My sweet gentle
boy. Who doesn't love them some dembe?
And she's so sweet. And a rather long kiss by Red. That was a little long, not too long.
Wow, I wasn't paying that much attention.
That was a smooch.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, what happened? Red? This sweet old lady. She's like, come here, Red. And I was like, Jesus. Anyway, but that was cool. And then, of course, the reveal is she's a big arms dealer and got a bunch of stuff. And Red has to tell her that some people, you know, who you did business with, rob the Monarch Bank, and that's trouble for you, God. And she says, you know, oh my God, in Polish, and he says, God can't save you, but I can.
I love how when you buy arms from this woman, you also get a jelly donut.
Yes,
yes,
part of the deal.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why that's what keeps them coming back.
The cherry on top. Mm.
That's what keeps them coming back. Well, speaking of which, we're gonna take a pause really quick for a message. Oh. From our folks.
Wherever you live in this great country of ours, Dish can bring you great TV. From the big city to the farmlands, high on a mountain or low in the valley, Dish delivers all the great movies, shows, and sports you can handle. Monthly packages start at just $19.99 a month for 12 months. This is your day, America. Get Dish and get thousands of TV shows and movies on demand and free installation in up to 6 rooms. Visit dish.com/afterbuzz. That's dish.com/afterbuzz. Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification required. Cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Requires a clear view of the southern sky. Call for details.
Did he just say we can get Dish for just $19.99 a month?
Yes, he did, dear.
And what do we pay for TV now?
A whole lot more than that, dear.
And why do we do that?
I don't know.
Get Dish. Go to dish.com/afterbuzz. That's dish.com/afterbuzz.
So Apollonia makes a mean jelly donut. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes, that was a good donut. I love that donut.
So we
Red was right.
Yes, no. So we find that out, which is completely, you know, fine. So Red gets that information. He then knows sort of who the team is, right?
Yeah.
And finds out what's going on with that.
Breaks in.
The Marcha group? Is that right? The people who, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It was, it was.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But then, I was listening.
What's also happening, but at the same time though, which is a sort of a separate thing, which I want to get to, is we're also intercut back and forth with what's going on with Berlin. Because Berlin has got a couple of things going on. First, he's very pissed about his assets that they're stolen from the Monarch Bank.
Yeah.
And he's talking to, the guy. Who's the attaché, the bank president,
Sterling.
Attaché Sterling. And he's very, very upset with that he came to New York to visit him, personally and assure him that everything's okay.
You also find out he's getting a fancy dancy bionic hand being made for him.
Yeah, that was a cool throw.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, he's like, looks good, make it.
Yep.
So, which is a good look because he can't have that hook.
But of course that thing costs money.
Well, dude, I mean, first of
that's
all,
cost some money.
Dude's a mastermind criminal. He's got like, you see, sell his bank accounts. He's got like hundreds of millions of dollars. He's got a hook hand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really?
He's all retro. He's hipster.
Feel free to get up.
He's a hipster criminal. There you go.
It's an ironic hook.
I guess it's 1979 with a hook hand. Like, ooh, this is a Bond film? It's ridiculous.
He's trying out for Peter Pan next year on Broadway.
Yeah. But so I'm glad that they corrected that and are getting a nice bionic arm, which means hopefully we'll see more Berlin.
Yeah.
You know, so which was obviously great. So, yeah, getting a cool bionic hand ordered, and then he's going to have a nice visit with another visit with Naomi.
Oh, yes.
And what looks like he's going to do something to her lips or nose.
He compliments on how she has a nice mouth.
Yes.
Which was very
ominous and scary, right?
Very deliverance-like line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Pretty mouth.
Yeah.
Bando.
That was a little scary.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of connotations there.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the next scene right after that line. I'm like, what? Like, ugh.
I think Spader, you know, I'll talk to a little more later, but Spader does a great job of sort of playing that smoldering anger. Like, mm-hmm. you just know he's just had it. He's really, really wants her back, and he's really, you know, we saw him at the beginning of the episode with the blood in his face and everything else. But when he got that tooth, like, just he just felt like, I thought he was going to, like, you know, punch a wall or do something crazy or throw his drink, but he just, you know, very controlled anger.
I think it's a complete frustration. He's not used to being out of control, and he's doing everything he can to get to the bottom of this and get to his wife, and he just can't get there. He's just not getting the answers that he needs.
Mm. Yeah.
Toothy tooth.
Newsflash. Spader's good at acting. James Spader.
Newsflash.
He's not bad.
Breaking news.
Good at acting.
He's not too shabby.
I'm just saying. You know. So that was good. And then so that's all happening, and then we also see this cool scene where Naomi tries to make an escape attempt. You know, she does that bit. Now, what do you have to say?
I forgot to look back. I meant to look back. Did we ever see her hands?
We never
see if she really has all 10 fingers.
She has a little thingy. So she really lost her finger.
So okay. I love me. Okay, good. I just forgot to go back and look.
Right.
I love me some Mary Louise Parker. I mean, this is the truth. And
me too.
I am certain we will see much more of her because she is such phenomenal casting. You can't just throw it away on this sort of damsel-y in distress 2 episodes. Although she did have one badass moment with the chicken bone.
Yeah, chicken bone.
Mm.
So, but she's awesome. That's all I really have to say about her. I love every second of her. She really didn't have much to say.
Where did that chicken bone go, by the way? I mean, was it the nose? But then later he came out and he's like, fine. He's like, hey guys, it's me. And I was like, what happened? Because first he was holding his nose for a while, and then he's all messed up. But at the end of the episode, he was like, no bandage, no nothing. I don't know where that thing went.
I don't know.
Was a weird...
But I like
up his
that
nose
she's
or something? I don't know.
I like that she's got a little moxie. Throw her shoe at the video recorder, make a run for it.
Yeah.
She had a plan, fake him out.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well, but I thought it was a well laid out plan.
A little moxie.
Well, moxie. I felt like Berlin was just too smart to fall for that whole I'm gonna throw a lamp out the window and break the window and then hide under a desk. Yeah. I kind of was like, it was worth a shot, but I was like, all right, this moment's gonna come. He's gonna surprise the hell out of her.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So.
And she got out from under that table way too quickly.
Yeah,
I would have stayed under there for a good long while.
Yeah.
So flashing back, once they realize what's going on with the formula, they meaning Wrestler and Keen, they go to her house, they find out, they meet Kaja Tomczak,
Tomczak.
They find out that she has something called hyperthymesia.
Yeah.
Hyperthymesia. Thank you.
Yes.
Hyperthymesia.
Which is like a
highly superior autobiographic memory.
Yes.
Yes.
Autobiographical memory, yes.
Yes, highly superior autobiographical. That's your run-of-the-mill autobiographical memory. Highly superior autobiographical.
Okay, highly superior autobiographical memory.
I'm trying not to say that. Anyway.
Hyperthymesia.
So, she's
a blessing and a curse.
She's the personification of the formula. She's the formula. Mm-hmm. She knows everybody's account number. She knows why they're there. She knows how much money is everywhere. She knows everything. And she's the person. And so, we find out there that first she was free and it's a hobnob with everyone. And then
So she was originally hired to eliminate a paper trail.
Yes.
And then over time, they sort of turned her into a prisoner.
Right. And this was her move.
Mm-hmm. This was her move.
The stakes were too high. They didn't want to let her go. Yes. She had armed guards and everything.
So of course, Keen and Rester are going to bring her in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring her in. But of course, a lot of people don't want that to happen, namely Agent Salerno doesn't want that to happen. So a fight ensues with Lizzie and him, which
nice
is cool.
Nice little scene with them fighting while just past the two-way mirror.
Yeah.
Just friends just having a nice little conversation with Kaja. Just a nice little casual coffee talk.
It's very comedic.
Yes, very comedic.
Finally, she's like, Wrestler! turn.
Yeah.
Like, no. Just that. But even cooler was when our girl, Samar shows up.
Mm.
You know,
to save the day.
To save the day with that little nice little submachine gun. Just go. I'm like, whoa. So she clears, you guys are outgunned. I'll cover you. This was all, and that was, so this little cool chase scene, you know, sets out. They get in a cab and they're, you know, they're on the run in a cab.
Kaja's been shot.
Yes. And we see Kaja's been shot and Wrestler gets really, really sort of innovative.
It's crafty.
Crafty by, stopping the bleeding with,
tampon. We could say it, gentlemen.
Tampon. Can we say that on a podcast?
Yes,
I think we're allowed to.
Yeah, he stopped bleeding with a tampon.
I'm not saying.
And not very, you know, it wasn't a very easy insertion there.
It wasn't
no.
Gentle.
No, it wasn't.
Could
gentle.
You say easy insertion on a podcast? No. So I'm just checking. I don't know. So yeah.
You better put explicit on this label.
Yes.
You better put explicit on this label for the
record. So that happened, but that was very, you know, kind of cool and neat. And then later he like hooks her up with some pills. It's like, hey, yo, check this out.
I think this is the second time I say pills in my notes.
Hey.
This one says, ooh, Wrestler just happened to have some pills,
okay.
Nando.
Yeah, pills. Jeez.
So, but this whole escape was weird. Like, you know, so they're on the run. It was kind of cool. You know, I liked it. They're in the streets of Warsaw. And then
it's like all of Poland is against them.
Yes. Yeah, so the cops are dirty everywhere. And then the cab driver's like, you know, they're in there. And then they leave. And they jack a car. And the car guy calls them. And then they call Red, and Red's already got a guy en route. What happened there? Like, I don't know, this is where it gets a little murky for me.
Well, no, they showed that one scene of the guy saying that his car was stolen.
Right.
That it just seemed out of the blue from nowhere.
Yep. Right.
And then Red calls, he said he had a guy that was handling it, and that's when she asked
my
him.
My man in
if
Warsaw.
You trust, yeah, can was, you trust, can I trust him? He's like, well, you can trust me.
It's like, no, you can't.
You can't, but you can trust me. So, yeah, and he was the guy, he set up the explosion.
Yeah, that was the diversion.
Yeah,
that was the diversion. That he had planned for them.
Yeah.
So that'll happen. Then again, they hop a train.
Hop train. Riding the rails.
Yeah,
riding the rails. As Red said, his grandpa used to.
Oh, that's right. He did say that.
I love that.
Riding the rails.
My grandpa used to ride the rails.
He had some good stories in this one.
Yeah, he had some good ones.
Yeah, he did.
So he finds out he takes the formula off their hands.
Yep.
And sends them on a first class flight back to New York City.
Without Kaja.
Without Kaja. He's going to take Kaja off his hands.
Take care of her.
He's going to then use that to leverage. We did miss a scene early on where we saw Red getting his wonderful manicure, pedicure.
Oh, yes.
With
yes.
Rosa.
From Rosa, who we found out was a surgeon, which plays into the thing later.
You know what was really funny, too, about that whole scene? When we first see Red, there's a close-up of the manicurist, like, treating one of his fingers.
Yeah.
And then he talks about Rosa being in a relationship with a nine-fingered bullfighter. So it was like all, I almost feel like it was all references to the finger that we saw at the end of last week's episode.
Oh.
From his wife.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I thought that was really, really interesting that they had a manicurist working on one of his fingers and then talked about her relationship with a nine-fingered bullfighter from Juarez.
Juarez.
Yes,
Juarez.
The cartel capital of the world.
Yes, I thought that was an interesting little throwaway. Yeah. Like, he might be angry and whatever, but he could still, it was almost kind of like a joke that only he knew the answer to, because I don't think Lizzie knew that he was getting pieces of his wife in the mail.
So all that happens. Then this is where I start getting, you know, upset. Well, let me just finish with this, so we can go and talk about a couple things here.
Yeah.
So they, they figure out that Red, so of course Wrestler immediately goes into, I figured the whole thing out, Cooper. It's all Red. Red had the bank robbed because he has interest in the thing. It's all Red. Red's the bad guy as usual.
And that's so freaking lame ass short-sighted Wrestler from
like
season
last
one.
Season.
That's
like
last
every freaking time. It's like, it's Red. It's like, huh, you know, I've been here for a season and two episodes. It's not Red.
No.
Ever.
Yeah.
Okay, Wrestler,
it's
give
like,
it up.
Get used to it.
So he's like, it's Red. And
well,
then, but,
you know, in his defense, he's all pilled out.
He's like, he's all hopped up on the happy pills.
Clearly.
Cooper kind of like goes into that and asks the question that we're all asking. Who the hell is Samir Navabi?
Yes.
Who the hell?
It's a valid question.
It's Samir Navabi.
It is a valid question.
Anyway, so that all happens. And then, of course, Lizzie cracks the surgeon. She goes and gets the thing and intercepts the chick and gets the codes and calls Wrestler. And then does that whole speech about like, after all this time of trying to save, you know, help Wrestler save Naomi and protect Naomi in the first episode. And now she's all of a sudden like, hey man, if Naomi's gotta die, she's gotta die. Like, she's like, I'm not going to let you do this, Red. I can't let you have her. Like, you know, you may die. Your wife may die, but I'm saving. I'm doing my job.
Saving the lives of thousands.
I thought that was that. None of that rang like this is a whole thing, which I'll get to in a second. So that happens. Red does not know if Lizzie's going to save her or not. Red goes to have the confrontation after a wonderful. I'm sorry. After a wonderful, wonderful scene on the bench, I can't bury this.
That was a beautiful scene. I love that.
The meetup on the bench, which was awesome.
With the anorexic girl that he was talking about.
It's Twilight. Time We Met.
Yes.
That was outstanding. Mm. Yeah.
And Coney Island.
I love that backdrop of Coney Island because these are such dark, villainous criminal masterminds, and you want them to meet in like a dark alley or a cigar lounge.
And they play
the Wonder Wheels in the background.
Then, there it is, Coney Island. I like that sort of dichotomy right there. That was really smart.
Little throwback to the Warriors, another famous Coney Island.
Ooh, the Warriors come out and play.
That's right.
Yeah,
the Warriors did it. We're just old. We're just,
God, you guys are so old.
But back to the anorexic story, it was great. Red did have that cool line about, like, you know, basically she spent her entire life chasing something that destroyed her. Make sure your passion doesn't be your sickness.
Yes.
Your sickness.
Yeah.
Revenge isn't a passion. It's a disease that eats at your mind and poisons your soul.
That's right. And then Berlin has the best comeback of the night. He says, your wife is coming apart nicely.
Oh, so good.
Ouch. Your wife. And then Red counters with another zinger. He's like, you hear that sound? That's the sound of your checks bouncing.
I love that.
That was great. So there was like zing, 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 and that was a very cool.
I also felt really satisfied with that scene. I felt like I got a little bit of a payoff in a show where I never get that satisfaction, where as soon as I think I'm going to get something, they just layer on more
mystery. I want
Berlin
to be Red's daughter.
That could be true.
I totally
want that.
I want Berlin to be Red's daughter.
He lost his hand in the fire.
It's their relationship. Let's just have a buddy comedy, the two of them.
Buddy criminals?
It's like Midnight Run with Berlin. Midnight Run with Berlin and Red.
How many old Red movies are we going to bring up?
I don't know. What movie is that? That's like Midnight 95.
Run, no. Midnight Run's 80s.
No.
Charles Grodin and...
All right.
Yeah, it's 80s.
Marissa, give me Midnight Run. I'm going to say 1990.
I will look it up.
I'm going to say 1990.
There's a lot on the line here. There's a lot on the line.
I'm going to say 89. I'm going 89. No, you said 80.
I'm sitting in Flippo's seat, so I got to be right.
1988.
Oh! All right. I'm wrong for once.
Ding! For once.
All right.
Let me pull up my list.
Okay, you're right. Anyway, so we're way off track. So that cool scene was great. And then so they have the meetup. They do the exchange. Red doesn't know if Lizzie's going to come through or not. Lizzie, of course, comes through, saves Red. They have that little poignant scene at the end where Red realizes that what does he say, Julie? I know you have the whole thing right now.
I don't know what scene you're talking about. I'm lost on you right now. Red has said many things in this episode.
No, at the very end of the episode, he tells Lizzie that he confronts Lizzie and says, thank you. And Lizzie says, I realize that I'm charged with...
You're an asset I'm charged with protecting.
Right. I was just doing my job.
At that point, I sort of threw down my pen for a second. I was like, are we going to do this again? Are we going to be like, I love you, Red. I hate you, Red. I love you, Red. I hate you, Red.
Again, that was kind
I'm gonna
of like a nod.
I'm
going
to use you whenever I can, but then leave me alone.
It was a nod back to the stuff in season one that annoy us.
So let's get into that for a second here, because we talked about paring this cast down. So we have the cast as we know it is pretty much, Cooper, Wrestler, Keen, and Red with a little
Amar on the side.
Amon. No.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go on.
Amar. Ahmad.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Aram! We suck. With a little Aram on the side.
Yes.
At least we can call him Aram.
If Flippo was here, he would have gotten it right.
He would have. Yeah, he would have gotten it right. Here, Flippo.
If Flippo.
Anyway, so these guys, these are central characters, and we're focusing on them, which is fine. But still, the through line between those three characters is none of them trust. We spent the entire season one with none of them having varying degrees of trusting Red or uneasiness and trusting Red. I realize that this is something that drives the show, the need for like this conflict between the task force and Red, this uneasy, you know, these strange bedfellows, this sort of uneasy, you know, relationship that we have to have. So the show does work to a certain extent if the task force doesn't trust Red, if the audience doesn't know Red's motives. However, I think the audience is pretty clear on who Red is.
Well,
I mean, in terms of his overall demeanor.
How often does he have to prove himself?
Does anyone think that Red is evil? Does anyone think that? I mean, he may have ulterior motives.
He's great. He's got a gray area.
He may be a badass who shoots you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
He may do some all kind of crazy ish.
Look, here's the thing. We know that Red has his own motives that are not the same as the task force, as the government. He has his own motives completely. So it's one thing to say like he's pulling Kaja for his own interest. It's one thing to say that he's doing it on his own. It's not, but Rezzo's like blaming the whole robbery. The whole thing is a red thing. And it's like, no, it's like, it's obvious that Red's just working with you till he doesn't need to work with you anymore.
I feel like he's always the scapegoat when they don't know the answer.
Yeah, they're just taking it too far.
But how many times is going to happen? Because not only is he the scapegoat when everyone knows the answer, but it's like Lizzie, who has sat with him on the swing and held hands and cried and drank the weird milky drink with him in season one.
Yeah,
and has been through all this stuff. And even though at the end of the season one, she had that whole like, you know, where, you know, you're dead to me, kind of like monologued with Red. I'm only, you know, you're a necessity, but we're done or whatever. And even though she's come back this season a new, leaner, tougher, wigless Lizzie Keene.
thank God.
The fact that she's going back to this old rap about, you know, Red, I don't trust you. You're come on.
I disagree with you on one thing. I mean, look, for the greater good. I mean, she's looking at the greater good, which is sacrificing this one person for the greater good. Berlin is a terrorist, and all of this money will go to causing havoc everywhere. Who knows how many people will die? I agree that, you know, she can be annoying at times, but she is purely going from the greater good here. Sure. She has no idea what this woman, Naomi, has to do with her and with Red, and why she's more important than the lives of who knows how many innocents, how many people around the world that could get injured or killed. If Berlin is left out there with his assets untouched.
Right. Very true. And frankly, for all of my yelling and screaming and belly aching, she made the right decision. She does have the soft spot for Red.
Does she make the right decision? I mean, again, it's the greater good.
She doesn't make the right decision. As far as we're concerned as viewers and lovers of the show.
And we've already
seen
Red
die. You want to see Red die?
What are you saying? But we already see even Kaplan saying, Red, you're acting, you know, Red's even saying passion is a disease. And obviously he's, you know, Berlin threw that back in his face and says you're very passionate about the people you love,
right?
You know, perhaps you're the one that needs to be careful with your passion. So here we go, seeing Red making a decision to trade Berlin all this money that can cause who knows. I mean, he even said it at the end. He said, you can give me back my wife and we can continue this war,
right?
Or you can kill my wife and I can keep your assets,
right?
So really he pretty much said, let's continue this war,
right?
And Lizzie, that's not Lizzie's job. Lizzie's job is to protect.
No, he also made a plea to Berlin, you know, and kind of said, we have a common enemy. Like, this is something, you know, we shouldn't be fighting each other. We should be together trying to figure out
who did this.
Who did this? Because I didn't kill your daughter. I didn't do that. So you've been pissed at me all these years. Like, I didn't do that. So someone wants you to think I did. That's the person that we both need to find. Mm. And Berlin was like, whatever.
Kind of glossed over it. He didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, so.
Well, because he's consumed with this idea of revenge.
Right.
He doesn't want to hear it.
But I think the thing we also need to remember about this whole thing with Lizzie's decision is that the way Red plays it up, like, she's going to regret her decision. And obviously we're sensing that there's more to Naomi than we realize. I mean, that last shot was really Naomi in the car.
Before the handoff,
like he keeps her blindfolded.
Yeah.
And gets wrapped to her and doesn't, like, there's no embrace, there's no kiss, there's no throw off the blindfold and hug.
There's no acknowledgement. Yeah.
It's just get her out of here, Dembe.
So I'm just really curious to see what this payoff is with her that makes her more important than stopping Berlin in his tracks by taking all his money.
Well, on that, can I ask you, what how did you read that scene? How did you read the scene like with her blindfolded, Red walking up to her and kind of putting her in the car? What did you take from that? What does that mean?
The only take I can take from that is that they have quite a torrid past and a big, big story back there. They obviously had to part ways and she had to go into hiding and maybe he did it for her safety.
But not like, you know, you're welcome or no, anything like that, or you'll never see me again. Just nothing? No,
Is it a protective thing?
Like, you know.
I think this is going to come out as we learn more about her character of why he made that choice.
Sure.
And why he was willing to sacrifice thousands, the possibility of sacrificing thousands for this one woman. I think we have a lot more to see from her.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And then also in our epilogue sort of thing, after we, you know, get the shot of everyone. We get Wrestler looking at the pills again in the drawer. We get
and Julia looking at me while yes. Wrestler's looking at the pills.
But we do get this you know, we get our Mossad agent talking to Harold Cooper and giving him some very cool intel.
Yeah, that Cooper's like, research.
Great, this is great intel. What do you want from me?
And then they cut away. Which makes us think that she wants Red or something with Red.
We think she wants Red, but what she really wants is on the task force.
She wants
She wants, and so he's like, cool, you're in.
Which I actually predicted. I predicted that she would be.
Did you?
I did predict last week.
Check the logs.
I didn't predict that she'd be in the task force, but I predicted that she'd be a part of this whole thing. That, that they're bringing another. It makes sense to bring someone from another government agency in. This show will go more international. Actually, I did say this show will go more international because they're including her in this.
So
they went to Port Warsaw.
So the task force has now become this international task force, obviously, with this. And then
it seems she has a farther reach and less rules.
Right.
So they can gather some really interesting intel from her.
Just with her guns.
We already touched on, just to button the episode up, the confrontation or conversation with Cooper and the Attorney General. I'm the Deputy Attorney General. We touched on that conversation with those two about the, you know, about Agent what's his name's
Salerno's
involvement and the money and we touched on that already. And so then we see the last thing we see is this conversation between Red and the Mossad woman and their friends, and it's all part of some plan, right?
Red's looking forward to working with you.
Looking forward to working with you.
All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that reference.
Flirty, flirty.
So,
shining on you and a little shining reference, but also, as we predicted in episode one, a little flirtation.
A little flirty.
I think I predicted they're going to be a couple.
I think you did.
So, you know, that was a little.
Also, something that was revealed in that last scene before he took that phone call with Lizzie is that he's alluding to that Lizzie might have someone who's giving her some information.
Yeah, the source.
A source, yes.
Right. And Lizzie's like, me?
Lizzie? You're just a NASA to me.
What? No.
I hate you again.
Oh, which is interesting.
Yeah, so who who's that?
Who would that be?
No idea. Maybe Fitch?
Do you have any idea?
I'm just throwing like a name out. I'm just saying Fitch.
Tom Keen.
Somebody who knows it.
Anyway, I don't know. That's interesting. Like who that source is. I wonder if it's someone that we know from season one, or if this is going to be someone entirely new they're going to introduce.
I don't know.
Or yet to be seen. That's all. Again, densely wound, tight, packed with mystery and plot that we can just sort of unravel throughout the season. Like that's a good way to do it. All right. So Red. I mean, like, where does this leave Red in your guys? I'll talk a little bit about Red. Where does this leave Red in your opinion? Because we see him, you know, because we always see him, Mr. Cool, calm, collected, ahead of everyone. We saw him a little, almost unraveling here towards the beginning, and then he seems to gain control. We see him in a bit where he's very vulnerable out there. Like, you know, he's depending on Lizzie to save him. You know, he's hoping because he could, as far as he knows, he may die. You never see Red in a position where, you know, who knows what's going to happen, you know. So, I mean, where does this leave? Do we see a Red that's sort of back in control? And what's Red's larger play here with this Mossad agent? Do you have any thoughts on this? No?
Well, I think the next – no, I don't,
right,
Joe.
Cool.
I think the next step for him, now that level of desperation has been quieted a little bit, now that he knows where his wife is and she's back in his custody – In essence, he needs to find out who their common enemy is. Mm-hmm. I think that's the next step, because otherwise this war will be never ending. And this guy is mean.
The super blacklister I keep waiting for.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I mean, the task force is the task force. Lizzie, the task force, you know, I don't know. What any loose ends here in this episode? You missed anything you want to talk about? Nando?
Maybe it's Tom. Maybe Tom is the one who's giving her.
I don't think so.
He's the only one I can think of.
Fitch. Alan Alda.
Fitch, okay.
Oh, Alan Alda, Fitch.
Maybe they're going to bring Agent Malik back from the dead.
Yes, they'll bring her back from the dead. They have a psychic. They have a psychic that's going to do it. I mean, the source thing kind of is out of thin air, so we'll see if that turns into something.
Okay.
As far as loose ends, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head that we haven't covered.
I can tell you, like, for my money, like, these episodes have been, like, They're really great. They start off with this wonderful bang. This is my only complaint about the Blacklist in general. I'm sorry, world. I've got a complaint on the Blacklist. I'm sorry. But, you know, the episodes always start out so great, and they're really, really great throughout, and wonderfully, you know, dense plot and some great action. When we get to the end, those last sequences, that sort of like when the music starts playing and you get the insight into the lives, it kind of like falls apart. Like that whole sequence with her and Wrestler, Like the whole little, you know, her and Wrestler like playing a little footsie.
Yeah, sorry, okay? I was so hard on you when his reaction time was so awful when she shot his ass out.
Yes.
Well, because you know it's going to develop into a, you know.
It's like a mile away.
I've been saying that since season one.
Yeah,
like,
wait for Tom.
The touch on the shoulder.
Uh-huh, a little linger there.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just all that just feels like, you know, all right.
Make him really reconsider taking those pills.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. That's only last week we had the wrestler monologue.
Maybe the pills are Viagra.
You know the thing. So
maybe he's just taking Viagra. He's just getting ready.
Getting ready for.
He's getting ready for.
He's gearing up.
He's gearing up. You ever think about that?
All right.
I did not think about that.
Let's shift gears into some news and gossip and get into some news. I should say. TV news. Last week was a big week for the Blacklist cast. They're both, they were all over the place as we talked about Spader's, you know, billboards that are still all over town, mm-hmm. which are fantastic. Spader was on, Fallon last week,
Megan Boone.
Megan Boone.
No problem.
and they're both great, respectfully. Spader, had just said that he'd been so busy working on Ultron and working on some of the stuff on the Avengers movie that he had not had a chance to see all these billboards all over town. He literally would like go do his voiceover and then go, you know, home and sleep and whatever. And he said that he told a great anecdote about a friend of his, like, stuck in one of the tunnels and a bus goes to the side and it's a big picture of Spader's face. Cool. He's like, oh my God. And then another bus comes to another side and it's like surrounded by two Spader's faces. So that was kind of a funny story. But he said, yeah, he enjoys the show and it was a great episode. Megan Boone also was on Fallon the next night and she started talking about some potential blacklisters and she let go that a blacklister coming up. A big villain will be the one and only Paul Reubens.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Paul Reubens, Mr. Pee-wee Herman himself. Uh-huh. Actually playing, there you go, thanks Marissa. actually playing Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee Herman blacklister?
It's Pee-wee Herman versus Red.
Number three.
Number three. Yeah, I was going to say, what number
big
would
top Pee-wee.
What yes. number would Pee-wee be?
No. So that's look forward to. That's and awesome. Then also there's also some interviews out there with creator John
Bokenkamp.
Thank you. Talking about sort of parsing out the whole season, basically sort of saying that there will be lots and lots of the wrestler story to unravel, lots of the Herald story to unravel. So what he promised that, as we talked about last week, we'll be able to get into these secondary characters' lives mm-hmm. and sort of get them more involved. That's because, you know, we talked about this, them being little, like, sort of cutout characters last season. So we'll get them, you know, more involved and get some more backstory. And maybe they said some of wrestlers' past may come to haunt him.
Ooh.
So I don't know. We'll see what that means. Hmm. But you guys need anything else?
No? Just ratings-wise, you got ratings too? I mean,
yeah, you do it.
It was just a bit of a dip from last week. Last week's premiere was really strong. It was 3.4. We didn't get a chance to talk about ratings because we did the show on Monday night last week.
Yes.
So it was a great strong showing, but this week it dropped a little bit. It went to 2.8.
Still a good number.
Nothing to be totally ashamed of, but, you know, compared to some of the other shows, other shows last night went up and Blacklist went down a little bit.
Sure.
So, you know, but that usually happens when you promote a season premiere and sometimes people
it's
drop
be just
off.
Fine.
It'll be just fine.
I
think so.
All right, let's jump into some predictions.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
I'm going to break format. I'm going to go first. I predict this season, I will still ask Julia to go first.
I was waiting for it. I knew there was a...
I actually have something of a prediction. I think Red's going to be on the hunt for his daughter, Jennifer, that we talked about a little bit in this episode.
Oh.
What did we reveal about Jennifer? That she had gone into, hold on, wait for it. She was placed in protective custody with her mother in 1990.
Yes.
And the Marshall Service lost contact with her 7 years ago, and she's been unaccounted for. So now that he has Naomi in his grasp, and she kind of owes him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to use that as leverage to get in contact with Jennifer.
Sure.
Boom. Who has predictions this week? Me.
Boom. I like
it. So you predicted that his daughter, who he hasn't seen in years, he's going to actually search for his daughter. So, wow.
Yeah, they're saying that's a crappy prediction.
That's big. That's big.
I hate you so much.
Really big. I predict that he's going to have lunch tomorrow.
I predict he's going to wear a hat.
I predict he's going to wear a hat. How about this sort of prediction? I predict that as far as Jennifer's concerned, I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that a blacklister has her.
Oh.
Boom. Okay. That's a prediction.
All right.
That's a prediction out of nowhere.
Okay.
Okay.
Based on, I have no idea what clue. I'm just saying that.
And then, of course,
pulling out of my butt. Pulling out of my butt. And I also say, I don't know. I want to say there's no more pills.
No more pills.
I want to say no more pills.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to stand by it.
I bet you're praying there are no more pills.
And Mike is a follower.
You'll never hear the effing end of it from me.
And Mike is still a follower.
I'm going to go way out on a limb. I'm going to go way out on a limb here. First of all, I'm on record. I'm already on record with my first two predictions. I'm on record saying, Red and the Mossad agent will have a little something.
That'll be a relationship.
I'm also on record saying by Cooper's wife, Charlene. What's her name?
Yeah, Charlene. We're going to see her.
We're going to see her, and she's not going to make it.
She's not going to last long.
I mean, maybe we won't even see her. I disagree with that.
So I'm
just want to reiterate my predictions from last week. But mm-hmm. also want to say, this is a bold one.
Oh.
That Naomi is going to flip. I think Naomi is going to be in league with the super, not in Berlin, but the super blacklister.
Cool.
The one who's in charge.
She's a double agent.
I think Naomi is like really upset by the life that she had to lead through Red. I think this may or may not be the last, either this was the last straw and she will go help, eradicate Red from her life so she can be free. Or she was working with this super blacklister all along to already eradicate Red, and this whole Berlin scheme didn't work, and now she's going to do something else. Something's off with this Naomi. I just think that Mary Louise Parker's not just there just to be sweet and damsel in distress.
Not just be sweet.
That's what I got.
All right.
And boom!
Boom!
Bam!
Boom!
All right.
Yeah.
That's it for this week. We'll be back with more stuff. But
don't forget
Nando,
iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes.
First, and don't forget YouTube. I'm an a-hole.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you so much. You predict I'm an a-hole.
You're an a-hole.
Thank you so much for all you guys who listen to us on YouTube and all of our YouTube. You guys are fantastic. Has been so loyal through
both
seasons.
Even the one who called me homeless.
Even the one who's called homeless. And you guys, please continue to comment and please continue to call us out on stuff.
You have names.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some names?
Yeah.
Some
do some shout-outs.
I have Dave 1555.
Dave.
Amanda Henderson.
Yes.
Mahogany
1985. Yes. Oh God, that was really
Sasu.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, X1.
Yes.
Life is Short 214. Doris Maynard. Pablo Zayas.
Leba.
What?
Ooh. You missed that one. I didn't say
Deepak
that. I said
Kongham.
What did you? Okay. All right,
okay.
Enough.
Get in Zero trouble here.
Fucking YouTube.
Choi RM. Apogee.
There's a
seven.
Lot. You guys are really
you,
coming
thank
up.
Thank you so much,
thanks,
Jose
guys.
Ramirez.
There's a lot
Tiffany
of you.
F.
Thank you.
Lucia de Bon. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Say cool. Hello. Awesome.
Yeah.
And many more that I didn't catch.
All
of our Twitter
so
folks
you.
Like Langley and Mike.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And,
even the ones who think Flippo's
and,
right.
And Vanilla
God.
Cupcake and all of our Twitter people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And please also on iTunes, feel free if you're listening to us on iTunes or feel free to also rate us on iTunes. That really helps other people find us. iTunes is another way to listen to it when you can't watch, you can listen there. So please feel free to check us out on iTunes and rate us. And for those who are doing that, thank you very much.
I had
much.
The names up, but I can't find them.
It's
so,
all right.
So
we'll thank you. Thank you for all of you folks. Mm-hmm. And, we love you very much. My chair is sinking. I think I'm like getting
where can we find off. Where can we find you, Julia?
Me?
Yes.
Well, you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at my name, which is Julia Carley, JuliaCarley. Stop making fun of me, Nando.
I just laugh.
Where can we find you, Nando?
You can find me. I want to watch Midnight Run. I got the hankering for Midnight Run
it's
after
good.
That
so
reference.
That's where you're going to find him.
So you can find me watching Midnight Run. But you can also reach me on Twitter at Nandovel, NANDOVEL, and on Instagram and here on AfterBuzz for a bunch of different shows, including Scorpion, which is really, really cool, Walking Dead and Homeland coming starting next week.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. I can't believe I got that wrong. 88. Damn it.
By you.
Oh, me. I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. That's at Joe K. Braswell, Twitter and Instagram. Joe Flippo, who's not here, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Flippo. You can also find him on his website, josephsanfilippo.com. And you can find him now in San Francisco. Hanging out with Larry Ellison on the yacht, like a big shot.
Yeah, like a boss.
He's not on the yacht, but
no,
he should
doubt
be.
It.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other aftershows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.